singing. Let's see if I can get this little button on here right quick. How's that? Thank you, Brother David. All right, let's take your Bible, if you will, please. We'll be looking in the book of Matthew tonight, in the book of Matthew. And this is certainly the time of the year that we're glad it's come, it's gone. We're glad that we can rejoice, be exceeding glad in the Lord, and to know Him in the free pardon of sin. What a Savior, what a thing. All right, in the book of Matthew chapter 2, if you find the place you're able to stand, and look there, verse 11. And notice, if you will, please, now these wise men, they've already seen the star. They saw a star, and they rejoiced with great joy. Verse 11, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. It's important that you remember that the rest of your life. You put a little mark there, whatever. Nobody's worshiping Mary. They fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented, look at it, unto him, gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother. You know, every time, you never find it's the mother and the child, but it's the young child and his mother. Flee into Egypt, be there thou until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God tonight. We do praise you and thank you that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there's none else. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. And we'll thank you in advance for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach on a holy child in a hostile world. And as you begin to look into the Bible under the day and hour and the oppression that we live in, more and more the infidels are trying to wreak havoc against churches across the country. I want to say to you, they hate God, they hate the Bible, they hate the Lord Jesus Christ, they hate whatever's good, right, moral, and decent, whatever God's for, this wicked world's against, and whatever God's against, this wicked world is for. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, the last time that we were talking and preaching about this subject there, we were talking about in chapter number 1 of Luke, about verse 35, that holy thing which will be born talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a passage over there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, about verse number 26, and the Bible said he's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled and separated from sinners. I'll tell you something, God incarnate in human flesh, that's who Jesus is. And as you begin to look, the Bible said that the devil no doubt tempted him, but there wasn't nothing in Christ for him to work on. You know, the reason being, because of the fact he's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, and he's separated from sinners. He's not born a sinner like you and I was, or anybody else. I tell you what a Savior that he is. Notice that in this lesson of description that we've given tonight, while he's holy, harmless, undefiled, and that holy thing which is born of thee, be called the Son of the living God, let me say to you, while he's holy, yet he's hated. There's not been one child ever been born as holy as he is. And yet you'll find that he was hated. And you'll find out, the Bible says over there in about Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 22, you'll find out that he reiterates the fact that all men were going to hate him. And they did. And then you'll find out in chapter 24 about verse number 9, all nations. Do you know of a Christian nation anywhere that's preaching the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And yet some people are contented with thinking, well, you know, on the other side of the world, I mean, they worship different than we do. Yeah, they worship a false god, an image, an idol. You need to get that down and remember it. Now, here's the reason why you need to. It's because at one of these days, your little boy or your little girl is going to come up with somebody that they would like to be proud of and like you'd be proud of them too. And you don't want to be caught in this trap of saying, well, you know, he's nearly like a Baptist. Well, what does that mean? I know some Baptists that I know some Baptist preachers that when they're in the preaching in the pulpit, they ought to never leave out of it. And when they do get out, they ought to never get back in. I know some preachers and I know some parishioners that absolutely, friend, they've got more excuses than Carter's got pills or peanuts. And let me tell you right now is, you know what, if you're going to be found faithful and be a good steward of God, you're going to have to be found faithful. Now, it doesn't mean when you're sick and it's beyond your control, and I know that. I realize and know that. And I'm not talking about when every now and again, you know, that you just want to sneak off, sneak away, and be able to have some fun and just relax. I'm not talking about that. But boy, when that gets to where that's more frequent than whatever, when it's so frequent that even these little babes notice it, something's wrong with that. In the Bible, listen, that you look at that, let me tell you, Jesus said to you and I, marvel not if the world hates you. Now, let me tell you right now, if you are like the world and of the world and dress and identify and you get involved with the world, the world's not going to hate you. But if you live for God and serve the Lord, let me tell you, they're going to hate you because they hated him. Over in John 15, verse 25, the Bible said, Jesus said that he was hated without a cause. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that he loved righteousness. This Bible said that he hates iniquity, and therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed him to be with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Hebrews in chapter 1 and verse number 9. I got to tell you right now, there was some uniqueness about the Lord Jesus Christ that was very obvious for others to see. And buddy, they hated him for it. Now, in the day and hour that we're living in, I want to give you point number one. One of them is that, number one, what a wonderful Savior that he is. There's no other one like him. There never has been, never will be. You'll find Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is alive. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. You know, the reason why that sometimes people say, well, now, we may not preach Jesus like y'all do. Well, then that's the only way to heaven. Now, what are you going to preach? What do you got as an alternative? There's not one. Somebody said, you know, I don't know if I can believe it or not. Well, hearing the word of the Lord, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And if somebody said, well, I don't know if I can believe it or not, there's no alternate plan. If you hear the message of God and God doesn't give you faith to believe it, then you'll die without hope and without God, religious but lost, and go to a devil's hell. That's just the way that it is. Now, that's not a welcome message, but it is a warning message and brings us to point number two. There's a warning here from God. Now, did you know that whenever these men came, and they came by and wanted to know, where is he that is born King of the Jews? What they did was, is that they said, we'd like to go and worship him. Well, it disturbed O Herod, being the godless, wicked king that he was. And what he did was, he was not so much worried about the baby as what the baby could grow up and become. If he's already a born king, what will he do whenever he gets big enough to take over my throne? And let me say to you, so he tells these men, hey, when you do find him, I'd like you to come back and tell me so I may go and worship him as well. We know that Herod, he didn't mean worship like they did. He meant he wanted to kill him. He wanted to destroy him. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that the Bible says Joseph took the young child and his mother, and by night, in the passages that they departed, they went down into Egypt. They're going to stay there and until that finally, that whenever all of Herod and his crew have died off, then they'll return back. But let me say to you that Herod, whenever they didn't go back and they didn't report, you'll find that obviously a couple of years have passed, because he brings out an edict and he wants everybody from 2 years old and under to be slain to make sure he gets rid of the Christ child. Now, you talk about a day of horror. You talk about a day of hurt. You talk about a day when everybody, the cry was great among those Jewish women. In fact is, you'll find that God had prophesied that over in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31 at about verse number 15. But here in our text that we're looking at, look in verse number 17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, where did he say it? Jeremiah chapter number 31, verse 15. What happened there? Look at verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. And he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. I got to tell you, then is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jeremiah 31 and 15 in verse 18 of our text. In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into the Bible, you'll find is that the devil is a killer. Just like Herod was a killer and the devil operated through him, he was an abortionist. In fact, he didn't just believe in full-term abortion. He's killing them from 2 years old and under to make sure he gets rid of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad to know that God's on the throne, everything's running right on time, and that he's not allowed to be able to do that. But there was a lot of babies that were killed simply because the devil hates any mama and hates any child that's ever been born. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, there's a passage over there in the book of St. John. Turn there. In the book of St. John, in chapter number 17, I want to say to you, that brings me to point number 3, the Word is what makes a difference. In John 17, verse number 14, I want you to see what Jesus said. I have given them thy word. He's talking about people that are converted, talking about his disciples. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When the Word of God's been given to you, when you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, when you've been saved by the grace of God, when you've exercised faith that He's given you in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then the Word has taken root in you, and the world's going to hate you because it hated Him and hates this Bible. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, I mean, there's so many different perversions of the Bible. Now, every now and again, you'll run up on somebody when you're witnessing and talking to them. Well, I don't know. I'm so confused. There's so many different versions of the Bible out there. I don't know which one to believe. That's exactly what the devil had in mind for you. It's exactly what he had in mind. And let me say to you that, if you will, that it's not just something we can work up and that's something we can work in. I can tell you is that the Word that's preached will grant you repentance and grant you faith and give you that which will change your heart and your life, and others will be able to see it. Now, let me tell you what happens is, he said the reason why that they hate you is because you're not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. Now, this most holy child, Jesus, now lives in your heart, makes a difference in your life, saved your soul, secured you for eternity. And let me say to you what happens is that the world hated him, and Jesus said the world is going to hate you. I got to say to you, the reason being is because all the way through the Bible is that while you turn to 1 John, let's turn to that chapter there. I want you to see it in 1 John. You remember the first two brothers that were in the world. One of them was named Cain, the other was named Abel. And Abel was a man that believed, obviously, a blood sacrifice and that atonement was by the blood. Now, Cain, that was just the bloody religion to him, and he wanted to have the fruits of his ground, and it was beautiful, and he harvested, piled it up. It looked real good. They got out there, and they got to talking about, and they got to praying and asking God, and the Bible said, no doubt, that whenever Abel sacrificed was pleasing unto the Lord, it was manifested, no doubt, by fire falling from heaven and consuming it. Cain, on the other hand, had a beautiful, my, talk about a bit of a nice fall album for your calendar. But it was not acceptable unto God for a sacrifice. And the Bible said that whenever God didn't answer that, that Cain was wroth, he got mad. The Lord questioned him about it. Well, why is it that you want to be angry? And why are you going to be mad? So forth and on. Don't you know that, in other words, God grants him a little bit of space of repentance. If you bring the right one, if you do the right thing, Do you trust the right lamb? But oh, he wasn't going to have it. The Bible said that he got out there and he was talking in the field with his brother Abel. Obviously about the rejection of God on Cain's offering. And as a result of that, he got so mad, got so angry, that he rose up and slew his brother Abel. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That was in the beginning in the book of Genesis in chapter number 4, about verse 8, 4 and 25. But look in 1 John chapter 3, and I want you to watch here in the passage in verse number 12. God bless you. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. I want to say that in these passages that you and I have been looking at across here tonight, is that that's the reason why they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, Mary had a little lamb. It's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And make no mistake about it, he was holy, he was harmless, he was undefiled and separated from sinners. And buddy, let me tell you right now, the world hates it when you show them a difference between being religious and being made born again and washed by the blood. It doesn't matter to the religious world that we're living in. As long as they can feel good about themselves like they are, they're going to keep listening to psychology that has no Bible to be able to pierce their heart. See that? But oh, you go to living right and go to doing right and go to acting different around them to where they can see there's been a difference made in your life. You watch them go to rise up. And buddy, I guarantee you right now, they'll not be happy at all. And by the way, let me say to you that if you will, you and I are trying to bring up children in the love and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And boy, we've got a good group here. We've got a good group. These young men are growing up to be young men. Let's talk about Sam. He's not here. You don't just bring up a young lady or a young man accidentally. Here's some of these young men that right here, they're already learning how to do manly things. But I remember whenever Sam, you know, he needed a job and all that business there, so he went to work at a flower shop delivering flowers. That's fine for a temporary and a quick paycheck and all that, but that ain't no job for a man. Huh? That's not a job for a man, working at a dry goods store and this and that and so forth. And I finally one day, I said, hey, listen, son, what you need to learn is you need to get a job that's manly. God bless you. I was thinking about, here's a young man, knows how to weld, knows how to do blacksmithing. Here's a man, knows how to do carpenter work. Here's a man that's just really talented and all that. These other young men, they'll jump in and do anything they can. Here's a man right here that splits cord wood. He's a little long in getting it to you, but let me tell you, it's a manly job. No, I'm just messing with you because we like you. Sometimes. No. All these young men that are here, let me tell you, they're growing up to be young men. I don't tell you, when they get grown and you allow them to be grown and go home and be sissified and prissified, that ball's in your court then. See? There's a young man back there right there. You got them horns in your room? You do? There you go. Huh? In the living room, that's it. You need to put them where people can see them. I just said all that. Hey, look at these young ladies. Some of them bankers. Some of them veterinarians. Some of them dog killers. Oh, that's in the safe. Sorry about that. Some of them working at the Fandango place. You know, that's a dentist. Dentistry and teeth person. You know, fangs. Get in the picture. Huh? I may have already said some at the bank. We got some here that are self-employed, and they've got stuff they make. Some taking care of dogs, some taking care of stuff like that. Some are decorating cups, this and that. My sister-in-law, she wanted to get two or three of them cups, and then she did get them, though, didn't she? She did get them. And then she found out how much they were. And, oh, yeah, wow. Well, hey, you know, look. Nothing that's worth having is free gratis. Right. Besides that, Merry Christmas, and here they are. Don't forget that we could go on and on and on. We got some talented young men and talented young ladies, and it's not by accident. But you know, as they're growing right along, here I am, 70. I don't know yet what I want to be yet. Let me tell you, you ought to get zeroed in on whatever it is God is wanting to do and stay on your knees and pray until God lets heaven come down and glory fill your soul. And well, of course, what we know is that these young ladies, they'd like to have a good, godly young man. Most good, godly young men don't have a job. But if they do have a job, then that's what it God intended, you know, to be a homekeeper and a homemaker and so forth and on. We live in a world that's hostile toward righteousness, that's hated toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you live for Him and walk with Him and talk with Him, and I can promise you He'll make a difference in your life, and others will see it and take notice of the fact that you've been with Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. We thank you and praise God. Beside thee, there's none else. Bless these young men and these young ladies tonight. May you build a hedge about their hearts.